Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So what do? We have a culture around us that does not want to say or hear anything like, Heavenly Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. No room for talking about personal failings as actual sin. And yet, someone a while ago, number of years ago, said to me, I don't believe people can change. Okay. No, actually, that's part of the truth. You cannot change or rehabilitate or improve the sinner. You know what you get when you try and improve the sinner? You get an improved sinner with improving how to sin. The old Adam will not be improved except to improve in the pattern of sinning, and that is simply in making his sins look better, holier, more appealing. The sinner trying to improve becomes, in the words of Jesus warning the Pharisees and teachers of the law, becomes even more a child of hell. Struggle, sweat, and labor all we will, we don't improve the sinner part of us. See, you need something far more radical. The sinner part must be put to death. And that's the uncomfortable truth that comes around when you take Christianity seriously. That's why Jesus told his disciples that he was going to go up to Jerusalem to be crucified. Because the other part of the truth is this gospel message that we needed and God provided someone to take all of the sins, to become the sin of the whole world on a Friday afternoon in the middle of darkness, appearing before his Father as the most unclean thing in the whole universe and all of history. See, we conquer because we have the cross of Christ and because we have the Christ of the cross. This Jesus Christ, the first part of his instruction to his disciples and to the crowds was to raise questions and get them to ask, who is this guy? And so there is something in that life that goes completely beyond what human beings expect. His character of compassion and caring, his devotion to others, his understanding of human nature, joined with a love for those same human beings who were constantly doing wrong and doing sins against each other and sins in the face of God. He sometimes confuses us. because he is beyond anything else we have ever experienced. And there are certain ways in which Jesus appears completely alien. It's as if the whole world was still asking the question, who is this man? And remained completely unable to figure it out. I remember back when the musical Jesus Christ Superstar came out, there was that one song that was played constantly on the radio. You still do occasionally hear it. It was Mary Magdalene's song. I don't know how to love him. Who is this man? He doesn't seem to fit. He confuses the world. And he calls us to something more amazing than anything in this world. You see it throughout the life of Jesus. In the boat with the wind and the waves and the disciples in a panic because the waves are sweeping over the boat and it's about to go down, and they wake him up and he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And he calmed the wind and the waves, and the disciples look at each other and they say, and this is quoted in our Bible, what kind of man is this? 40 days in the wilderness, on to the prayer in Gethsemane. He's the one. He is the only one who truly is able to pray, nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. The complete surrender of faith. He eats with sinners, and when the Pharisees object, he tells them to go and learn their Bible. He talks with Samaritans and Gentiles, and when his followers think that his teaching adults is the most important thing in the world, he takes a little child and says, become like this. In the trials before Caiaphas and Pilate and with all that were against him, he answers threats by speaking the truth, seeking to win and rescue their souls. And it so unnerves Pilate to hear him say, no, you have no power over me. And all Pilate can say is, who are you? And then there's Peter in the text for today. After years with Jesus, he realizes that something big is going on, and he comes to an understanding, and he says, you are the Christ. Oh, but Peter, what does that mean? So immediately Jesus starts talking about going up to Jerusalem to suffer and to go to the cross. It's not what Peter had in mind when he said, you are the Christ. This shouldn't happen. And Jesus rebukes him and tells him to put his mind on God's things and God's ways. Who is this man? Who is this man that will not turn aside from the path that leads to the cross? Who is this man who is determined to go to the place where he is rejected by God? Who is this man who is so determined to carry my sins? That it leaves me wondering, How do I deal with those sins? He intrudes. He won't leave them alone. And he doesn't deal with them the way that normal human religions would have God deal with sin. Instead, he comes along and claims them to be his. You are the Christ. And it doesn't mean an earthly king, and it doesn't mean someone who gives pleasures and benefits for this world as if this was the best ever and there was nothing better to come. He's the Christ. The one who comes determined to take my sins, to take you, a sinner, and to carry you along as he heads off to Jerusalem, carrying you there so that he can carry you with all of the ways that you have fallen short and all the ways you've turned away from God and all of the ways that your faith has not quite figured out how to handle the challenge of the day. To carry you along with all that you are in separation from God. To load you on his shoulders like the lost sheep. And we thought, finding the lost sheep and carrying it back was just bringing it out of trouble. Turns out that finding the lost sheep and carrying it means carrying it right through death and judgment, with him carrying that load as well, carrying us right through judgment and death, and bringing us out again and into life and blessing and eternity. What will it gain a man to have the whole world and lose his soul? If we want to shoulder the burden of making it through, it's not going to work. But we have a Christ. He's the Christ, the anointed one. That's what it means. Anointed to be the priest and the sacrifice, to take the sins and lift them off of us, to go through it for us, that judgment and that death, that separation from God, so that as our priest he can bring forgiveness and life and salvation, carrying us along so that there will be a day when the Son of Man comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, when Jesus returns and there on that day he claims you, says, "This one is mine. This one has eternal life. This one has heaven. This one is a child of God, to be part of the family of God." Not just a euphemism, part of the family of God. that family that lives forever throughout eternity, that has heaven belonging to us. And he says, this one is mine. In Jesus' name, amen.